infinite love. You matter to God. Many couples include a reading from 1 Corinthians 13 as part of their wedding ceremony. These words describe the kind of self-giving, self-sacrificial love that keeps families together. The beauty and practicality of this description make it appropriate for weddings, to be sure. The passage is more than that, though. Much more. Listen to verses 4 through 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 in the New Living Translation. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. It's tempting to read this passage asking ourselves, how am I doing? Do I truly love my spouse, my kids, my friends, my coworkers, and people in general? If you customarily think of these words as a kind of a checklist, now, let's hear them through a fresh lens. This time, think about our Lord Jesus rather than yourself. Framed in that way, the passage sounds something like this. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus never envies or boasts. He is never arrogant or rude, self-seeking, irritable, or resentful. He does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices when justice prevails. Jesus never gives up on us. He is always faithful, always hopeful. Jesus bears with us in every situation. You just heard it. Jesus' love has no end. It never runs out. His love for you is limitless. His commitment to you never fails. That infinite love took our Savior all the way to Calvary's cross. That love suffered, bled, and died for you. That love defeated death and opened eternal life to all who believe. God sees you. You matter to Him. God created you because He loves you, and He wants to express His great love for the world through you. Try to wrap your mind around that truth for a moment. The God of the universe created you intentionally with a purpose and destiny in mind so that He could love you, be loved by you, and express His love through you. The power behind your very existence is the dynamic force of God's love. He wants to do extraordinary, unbelievable things both in your life and through your life. The color of your skin could be brown, white, or yellow. You could be rich or poor. It makes no difference whether or not you have a college education. You could be the mom of preschoolers or the CEO of a high-powered corporation. You could work in a factory, wait tables in a restaurant, or be unemployed. You could live in a nice house or be homeless. Your life is important to God, and your role in this world is significant. You may never be a household name or have a park or a street named after you, but your life has meaning and worth. You have a destiny to fulfill. No one could ever take your place. Everything about you is important to God. He is interested in each intricate detail of your life. If something matters to you, then it matters to God. Your relationships, finances, and job situations are of utmost concern to Him. Your health problems, family concerns, and apprehensions for the future all matter to God. You may feel unimportant or even insignificant, but God says you have been important always and always significant to Him. Everything that pertains to you, your thoughts, words, and actions, your joys, challenges, and more, is of great importance to Him. All that God created, He made on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose, including you. In His great wisdom and power, He knew exactly what He was doing when He created you. In Psalm 139, David emphasizes how much we matter to God when he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Now, as you go about your day, remember that you exist because God loves you and finds great pleasure and delight in you. As you reflect on this great truth that you matter to God, consider how you might speak a word of hope to a brother or sister today. Could you speak one kind word or do one act of kindness towards someone with whom you come in contact today? Let someone know that he or she matters to you because you see him or her through the eyes of faith and love. You matter to God. Now show that love to others.
Good morning. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Hosea 2:20. There are two kinds of people in the world: those who like surprises and those who don't. Which category would you put yourself in? Maybe for you, that depends upon the surprise. Life can be full of surprises, such as birthday parties, a double rainbow after a storm, or an unexpected phone call from a long-lost friend. However, life can include some not-so-nice surprises. Your car water pump broke, a credit card bill that has grown much larger than you thought, or your dog decided to use your favorite shoes for a teething toy. This opening scripture from Hosea 2:20 describes a happy surprise. In fact, a very happy surprise. Here God expresses the depth of his love and commitment to us, his people. His promise carries all the intensity of a vow. What makes a commitment of faithfulness, love, so surprising? The book of Hosea makes it clear that the people who first heard Hosea speak were pretty much unlovable, despite all of the blessings their nation had enjoyed from God's hand. The people went on living lives of spiritual apathy. Our Lord's anger at his people's sin was an anger born of passion and compassion. Isn't it easy to fall into the same apathy, the same nonchalantness in our own relationship with our Lord? Our unfaithfulness does not surprise Jesus. It saddens and dismays him, but even so, he never gives up on us. His love never fails. The happy and very surprising truth is that we have a great Savior. Well, now let's think about guarding and tending to our heart. Every human being is born with a heart condition. No, not talking about a physical problem. I'm talking about the spiritual heart. We know in our heads what choices are good, but our hearts can grow hardened to the teachings of God. We all make decisions to do things our own way, while thinking in our heart we know best. We should remember Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Don't we all long for the wellspring of life? Isn't that what so many of us are looking for? Well, if we want to experience life abundantly, we must continually guard, protect, and maintain our hearts by going to 1 by going to one from whom life flows, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with, we learn the story about the farmer or the sower. It begins with the farmer casting some seeds that fell on different parts of the ground. Some of the seeds fell on the path, and the birds ate them right up. Other seeds fell in the rocks and sprang up quickly. No roots to sustain them. A few seeds fell on the thorns and got choked by the weeds. The rest of the seeds fell on good soil and produced a harvest. Jesus is not just talking about farming here. He's talking about our hearts. I grew up in a small town where there were many farmers, and I do not know a lot about soil, seeds, and farming conditions. I do not have a green thumb either. But I did learn some things by observing them. They begin by preparing the soil, loosening and aerating the ground. They plow the ground by turning over useless debris such as weeds, rocks, and old vegetation. In the spring, they would go up and down, row by row, of the impacted soil, lain bare and hardened by the harsh winds and snow of winter. Then they would use their tiller once again to turn over the soil, exposing it to fresh air, moisture, and sunshine, the very things that the seeds need in the ground to grow and thrive. Well, sometimes our hearts can become hardened by life's blows. When our poor decisions, along with our sin, we cannot seem to give up, threatening our relationship with Jesus. We have to do the work of turning the soil. We need to remember that God's word cannot take root in us and flourish if we do not guard and tend to our heart. The process of growing spiritually does not just happen routinely or mindlessly, but only to the living God we know, life-living God we love. It requires a decision on our part. We each must decide that our heart does not belong to the world. The scripture verse from Jeremiah 29:12-13, the Lord invites you to call on him. In these days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Well, just as Jesus was with the farmer's field, so it is within our heart. God wants us to grow. His desire is that we would become mature and complete, lacking in nothing, as found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 4. The key to growth and maturity is diligence, or good old stick-to-itness. Each one of us must put up a spiritual fence around our hearts, guarding against the intrusion of the enemy. We must guard our walk with Jesus at all cost, tend to it daily. Remember not to let your love for God go cold. Never lose the awe and wonder of loving him. Keep giving Jesus first place in your heart, making him a priority, guarding his realistic love in your heart. We are all precious and dearly loved. Amen.
Two scriptures that went with the eternal love, you can start again. The first one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. There are many kinds of love found in the Bible. This morning you're hearing only about three of them: a realistic love, infinite love, and eternal love. I chose to talk about eternal love because it has a lot to do with change. And I know that is something to which we can all relate. Our natural world is in a constant state of change. We experience the change of seasons all year round. Our daily weather is unpredictable, despite sophisticated analytical tools, and we can't even expect our winters to be consistent from year to year. Just compare this past winter with last year's winter. And I think Mother Nature has finally decided spring is here. In addition to the weather changes, we have phases of the moon which affect the ebb and flow of the tides in our oceans. The creeks rise in the spring and can dry up in the heat of the summer. And right now the Mississippi River is overflowing. The natural world around us is always in a state of flux. So why should our human lives be any different? Change is inevitable. We are born, we go to school, we get jobs, we move, we have families, and we retire. I'm retiring on May 30th. It is a cycle of life, ready or not. And in the course of our lives, we recreate. We toss out the old and bring in the new. This could be as simple as cleaning out a closet or the garage. We get rid of what we no longer need and create a new, clean space. On a less materialistic level, we become new again when we ask forgiveness for something we have done and reconcile once again with God. Granted, not all change is good or welcome, and yet we persevere. Think about the prophet Jeremiah. He experienced so much unwelcome change that he began to lose trust in God. But God's love is certain. It is always there. It doesn't change. It's unconditional. God's love for us is not like the tide, ebbing and flowing. His love is constant. Of course, our perception at times may not see it that way. But when we are faced with challenges or crises, our natural response is to pray or ask people to pray for us. Because in our hearts, we know He's always there. Whatever mistakes we make, God always forgives, excuse me, and grants us a do-over. We are not perfect, but we always have that chance to start again. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says that God will never leave us or forsake us. He loves us unconditionally. If God loved us only sometimes, but not all the time, that would mean His feelings are changeable. But the Lord never changes, and His feelings for us never change. His love is eternal love.